They might take a Bible and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Choir, thank you so much again for all your efforts over the entire course of Holy Week. It really does add so much to our worship, and so thank you. Kelly, thank you for low in the grave he lay. Second maybe only to my anticipation later today for deviled eggs. So thank you. It would have been not Easter Sunday if we didn't sing that song. It was interesting to be a pastor on Holy Week. As you're moving about and you're going to ball games and other things, people know you're a pastor and they're like, big week. It's like, this is like your Super Bowl, right? I'm like, yeah, if I wasn't worried about it enough, thank you. Right? Don't drop the ball. And they somewhat jokingly say, what are you going to preach about? I don't know, maybe tithing. I think we'll stay resurrection today, okay? Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When's the last time you can remember feeling helpless? When's the last time that you can remember feeling helpless? There is a part of us in our human nature that one of the things that we hate the most is feeling helpless. Now, we want to believe that we've got the resources to meet whatever challenges we might face in life. If you think about it, one of the areas would be your finances. That there's a part of you that you want to think, all right, we've done enough. We've saved enough, we're in a good spot, now I have some security in the area of my finances. One of the most terrifying thoughts would be, I don't have enough to meet the demands before me. I'm helpless in that way. Everything in me wants to be sufficient, I want to be strong enough, I want to meet the challenges before me, and I hate anything that would kind of rise up in me and make me feel like I can't do it in my own strength and power. It's one of the reasons that I've never been on a cruise. All of you are like, you are crazy. There's just a part of me, I'm like, get on this boat, drive out to where I can't see the land, and like, if I want to go home, I'm guessing there's no helicopter coming. Like, I'm just with these people, and I'm not in control. Another reason I've never been deep sea fishing. Those of you who love it, God bless you. All I can imagine is you're going to put me on that boat, and we're going to get out there, and I'm going to be nauseous. And all I can do is bake in the sun while the rest of you haul in fish and plead and wait to get back to land. I had a dream this week, I kid you not. I was in the ocean, and the waves just kind of kept coming, and there was like a ladder. I don't know why the ladder was in the middle of the ocean. Those of you who are therapists or counselors, we can talk after. It was like, if I could just get to that ladder and like get myself out. And then you know what happened? Jellyfish. Like this big. Like to the point I'm waking up like... There are feelings of helplessness that come into our lives and we really dislike it. At every point along the way, we want to think that we are sufficient, that we can meet the demands that come before us. But the really inconvenient truth in life is that we cannot. We cannot. We are not sufficient in our own power and strength and wisdom and resources to meet all of the demands and the challenges that are going to come before us. And you and I, at one point or another in our lives, we are going to become painfully aware of the fact that we don't have what it takes to overcome the challenge that is before us. And this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, on this day when we rejoice in the hope that is ours through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are rejoicing in part because we are acknowledging that God has not left us by ourselves in our distress. He has not left us to our own devices, but he has come in the person of Jesus Christ to overcome our greatest enemy, even death. And when you come to Romans chapter 6, I mentioned this earlier at our first service, that we've been in Romans a lot. I've been in a growth group in Romans. We've had a couple sermons from the book of Romans recently, and I have come to appreciate anew the beauty of the gospel as it comes to us in the book of Romans. That there is a part of us that we can give mental assent to the fact that we can't do it in our own power and our own strength. We can give mental assent to the fact that we need grace in our lives. But if that's where you are, I would argue that you're just kind of scratching the surface of what grace is. This morning, the sun came up. Did any of you do anything to make that happen? Apart from God's power and grace and mercy and kindness, you and I would still be sitting in the dark this morning. That everything that God allows us to see and experience is all a function of his grace at work in our lives that we do not deserve. And when you get to Romans chapter 6, Paul is going to apply this grace to the life of the believer, and he's going to make this claim that just like God had to be at work by the power of the Spirit to bring life to Jesus' dead body in that tomb, so he has to be at work in our hearts to bring life to us. And it's true both of eternal life and abundant life. That we as a church, we exist to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the Lord might be gracious to use us to see men and women come to saving faith in Jesus and to experience eternal life. And not just eternal life, but then after that, to be so bold as to believe that God cares about our lives every day between this day and our resurrection hope is made sight. And if there's one thing you walk away from today, I want you to walk away remembering that all of that is dependent not on your strength and your power and your wisdom, but it is at every point dependent upon God's Holy Spirit at work in you. That you and I only have hope as we move forward because we believe in God's steadfast love and his power to bring new life and to sustain us until he calls us home. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is going to talk about baptism. Now, wouldn't you know a Baptist pastor would choose a passage on baptism on Easter Sunday? But it's a beautiful and powerful illustration to help us feel our need for Jesus. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Paul says that baptism is a picture for us of how you and I are united with Jesus in his death, in order that we might also be raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit and to walk in newness of life. One of the great privileges I have as a pastor is I get to participate in people's baptism services. I hope the Lord never lets me get over that. It's one of the most beautiful and meaningful things that you can participate in someone else's life. And those of you who have never been back there, there's like a mysterious area back there. But back there, there's some changing rooms, and there's some robes. And I'll meet with baptismal candidates, and we'll talk about their baptism service before we walk out. And I'll say, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to introduce you to everybody out there. And we as a group, we're going to remind ourselves that we've been called to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then you're going to make that profession of faith. I'm going to say, what do you believe? And you're going to say, Jesus is Lord. And then here's the important part. We're going to be standing like this. I'm going to give you my arm. You're going to put one hand right here. You're going to put the other hand right here. I'm going to put my hand on your back, and I'm going to say something like, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother or sister in Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here's the part where you're going to have to trust me. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And I plead with the baptismal candidate, I said, you just got to trust me. There's going to be a part of you that this is going to feel like you are at work and you are doing these like team building exercises. And you got to do the trust fall with me. But I promise you, there is water and there is my hand. And we are going to bring you back up. Just don't bow your back on me. And I've been there, like I've had this really ministerial like challenge and wrestling in my mind that some people do. And I've asked myself, like, is it valid if their face isn't covered? Should I put my foot, like, push them down? Should I make sure they're submerged? Because you and I, we just don't give in. We just don't trust by nature. That if we could, we would baptize ourselves, some of us. It's like, do I really have to trust you to bring me back up? And Paul says this baptism is a picture of the good news of the gospel, of what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and there's a part of you that you think this Christianity thing is about you receiving some rules and regulations, you living up to what God's called you to be, you trying to be good enough to earn God's salvation and love and favor, that would not be good news for anybody here. But that is not the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God has seen us and he knows that we can't do it. There's a whole record. There are thousands of pages to show you that you cannot do it in your own power and your own strength. But thanks be to God in the person of Jesus, he has come to do it for us. That God, the God of the Bible, the God of Easter Sunday is the God who sees us in our distress, and he comes in the person of Jesus Christ to perfectly do for us what we could never do for ourselves. That Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day, in the power of the Holy Spirit, God raised him from the dead. That Jesus has perfectly satisfied God's expectations on our behalf, and the way that we step into that eternal life is to give up, is to admit that we do not have what it takes in our power and our strength to live into God's righteous demands for us. The invitation of the gospel is to admit that you are helpless, to admit that you do not have the power or strength or ability to meet the demands that God has placed upon you, but thanks be to God, he has. For the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, I would submit to you that perhaps you don't understand how good the gospel is, or perhaps you don't understand that you desperately need God now just as much as you did when you made your first profession of faith. That there is something within the human heart that we want to act as if Jesus was raised from the dead, and then you know what he did? He just kind of passed the baton to us. And he was like, go run the race now. And I will tell you, as someone who grew up in church, as someone who can be very legalistic, as someone who, like, first day of class, give me the syllabus, I want to know what I have to do to get the grade, that I can approach the Christian life as if now it's all up to me and my strength and my power and my ability. And here's the bad news. I have found that I cannot do it. Anybody else? Like, just this past week, I was cutting the grass. I was outside, I was cutting the grass, and I was wrestling with my own sinful heart and the ways that I fall short. And there was within me this sense of desperation of like, Lord, I can't do this in my own power and in my own strength. And the Lord says to me, yes. There is not this message that I give you this morning on Easter Sunday that like, you got this. You can do this. You can live into God's call upon your life. In fact, my message is exactly the opposite of that. That just as you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ by giving up, by admitting that you can't meet the demands before you, in the same way you live the Christian life. That the goal of the Christian life, Paul would say, is to recognize that we used to be slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. And so do what? Present yourselves to God as a slave to righteousness. I am hard-headed and hard-hearted. And I'm trying to learn this. And this morning when I woke up, I was just like, Lord, I know that I cannot live this day apart from your power and strength. I just simply want to present myself to you and ask for you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I just want you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, just as you raised Jesus from the dead, to be at work in my heart and help me, enable me to then live into your faithful call upon my life. And there is a certain rest that comes along with that. But the good news of the gospel is not Jesus started it, you finish it. The good news of the gospel is that from first to last, our God is a God who sees us in our need and our distress, and he carries us every step of the way. I was reading Karl Barth's commentary on Romans this week, and I'll admit to you, this is deep sledding for a man like me. But he made this comment: grace is the great human impossibility. And I read that, and I was like, Karl, that's good. Right? Like grace is not, hey, I want to take whatever you can do and I want to get you across the line. Grace is not, hey, you just marshal your righteousness and your resources and you just kind of pick yourself up by your bootstraps and you just kind of move. Grace is the great human impossibility. Like that you and I, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot bear witness to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in our own power. That all of our hope of living into this life is solely based upon God at work in me. And when you embrace that truth, there is this counterintuitive thing that now that Jesus is glorified in me further because he's the only one who can do it. That we gather on this Resurrection Sunday to proclaim that our only hope in the face of life and death is that God has overcome the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our only opportunity to live into the faithful Christian life is not to be better in our own strength and power, but to rely upon that same resurrection power to be at work in our hearts and our lives to help us live into the obedience He would have for us to know. I'm not ignorant to what some of you are going to go out and face this week. I came back spring break day early. You know why? Memorial service. Monday in this room, participated in a memorial service of a good friend of mine. If Jesus doesn't come back first, you know what's going to happen? Lots more memorial service. That we are not here in this room to act as if we don't still live in a fallen world. But we are so bold as to claim that what God has accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has finally and fully secured our salvation, that we are righteous before Him, and the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is going to sustain us all the way to the end until Christ returns. And there will be a moment where you will have to give up and trust. There will be a moment that if Christ doesn't come back first, you will pass from this life into the next. And if there's one thing that makes me uneasy about death more than anything, is like that's the ultimate moment where I got to trust. There is no striving, there is no ceasing, there is no overcoming it. But Jesus Christ has gone there before us. That when He said, not my will, but your will, He lived into and He entrusted Himself fully to the God who would one day, on the third day, raise Him from the dead, and you and I will do the same. So if I come see you on your deathbed or you come see me on my deathbed, let's remind one another of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That just as Christ was raised from the dead that first Easter Sunday, so too you and I will be raised from the dead. And let's live every moment between this day and that day, not striving in our own power, but leaning into the resurrection hope that we have through faith in Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we are so grateful for your great love for us, and we thank you that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead that first Easter Sunday, that he appeared to those who were his first disciples, that you poured the Holy Spirit out on your people, and they went and they proclaimed this wonderful truth that you have overcome death and the grave in the person of Jesus, that we might be in this room today celebrating resurrection hope. Continue to draw us to saving faith in you. We pray that more would experience eternal life through faith in Jesus, and help us to learn to live in dependence upon you, that you, by the power of your resurrection, would produce righteousness in us. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here today and you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'll be at the front to receive you. If you're here and you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus Christ, and maybe this is the first day that you've ever really given thought to it, know that there's nothing that I would love to do this week more than meet with you and talk about that. So you can reach me and we can grab a cup of coffee or share a meal, and I would love to talk to you about the good news of the gospel and how you receive the salvation. If you're here and you feel like God's calling you to unite with us and be members at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you as well, or if you respond just by standing and singing and praying where you are. However God leads you to respond, I invite you to do so as we stand together.